Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
And I have believed, and I will always believe, that people lie to either hide or cover things up.
People, adults, tend to walk away quite often and just disappear off the face of the earth.
And a lot of them have mental illnesses. I've read that people with mental illnesses disappear for years. Sometimes they're never seen again. Sometimes it's several years down the road and somebody sees them.
...26-year-old Jonathan Hamilton left his home in Houston, Texas on May 2, 2015. 2 days later, he made contact with the Bastrop police after the vehicle he was driving ran out of gas in a Best Buy parking lot. He somehow made it to a property a little over a mile away where he made contact with several people. One of these people supposedly gave Jonathan a ride back into the town of Bastrop, and after that, Jonathan vanished and has never been seen again. I spend so much time trying to make sense of these stories so that they're easy for you to follow along with, but this one, none of it adds up. Who can you believe when stories are conflicting and constantly changing? Has time clouded people's memories, or is there a reason for them to be hiding the truth? The most important question here is, where is Jonathan? I'm Marissa, and this is episode 96 of The Vanished, part 2 of Jonathan Hamilton's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. I would like to briefly recap the timeline, since I know that it may have been a few days since you've heard part one. In the week leading up to Jonathan's disappearance, he was taken to the hospital twice by EMS due to complications of his diabetes. Then, on the 2nd, he left home and went to the store where he got a Coke for his dad and a Starbucks coffee for his little sister. When he returned from the store, he took off. He had the family dog in the car, but he let the dog out and yelled to his dad that he better get the dog before it got run over. This is the last time that his family ever saw him. Then, on the 4th, he popped up a couple hours away in Bastrop, Texas. He pulled into a parking spot in front of a Best Buy, parking crooked in a handicapped spot. Someone called the police to report a suspicious person in the parking lot, and that's when the Bastrop police made contact with a person that they believe was Jonathan, although they only asked his birth date and name to confirm this. Due to conflicting statements, we can't really nail down a time, but at some point after Jonathan's interaction with law enforcement, he showed up at a property that's about 1.8 miles away from where he left the vehicle. He spoke to several people while he was there and allegedly told them that he had traveled up the Colorado River on a canoe but had lost his oars. This is when a man, Justin, who had been there working on a Jeep, offered to give Jonathan a ride back into town. He supposedly took Jonathan to a Walmart where he purchased a $20 Visa gift card, bananas, and a coffee. Then he took him to a Taco Bell and bought him some food. He said that Jonathan started acting normal again after eating some tacos. Justin had to go back to the property that they had come from to get his tools, so the two agreed to meet up again at 11:30 p.m. that night in front of Taco Cabana. Justin has said that when he came back at 11:30 p.m., Jonathan wasn't there. He waited 10 minutes and then proceeded to drive around Bastrop looking for him. He has told Jonathan's mom, Angie, that he slept in his vehicle waiting for Jonathan to come back. When Jonathan was with Justin, he called his ex-girlfriend from Justin's phone and claimed that he'd been robbed. She tried to text the number back, but received a response in Spanish, like the person couldn't understand English. Jonathan also called his parents twice from Justin's phone. One of the major discrepancies in this story are the times that Justin remembers these calls happening and the times that Jonathan's family remembers receiving the calls. The first phone call, his parents remember receiving on their way to Bastrop while it was still light out, but Justin and the other people who encountered Jonathan at the property claim they didn't encounter him until after dark. So how could Jonathan have called his parents while it was daylight from Justin's phone if he hadn't yet met Justin? The second phone call in question, Justin has said that Jonathan called his parents that night before they parted ways, but Jonathan's parents remember that call coming in the following morning on the 5th between 9 and 11 a.m. A lot of you who have listened to part 1 have contacted me or commented that you think the way these people handled Jonathan showing up was odd. That you wouldn't be so quick to get into a car with a guy who just showed up at your door. That you may have been more likely to notify the police and your neighbors. Now, we all handle situations differently, but I too find it odd. In part 1, you heard a clip of a police interview with the people who live at that property. In that clip, the detective asked the one man if he had followed Justin and Jonathan into town that night.
Yeah, I was just like, and that's why Justin took the guy down to the store where he was asking for help and everything, because I needed Justin to go in case he did have friends or whatever. I wanted to stay here to protect my wife and my sister.
Yeah.
And did you follow him at all when Justin left?
No, I
thought you told me you followed him a little bit into town.
I don't remember following him. I remember staying here, but maybe I did.
While I was reviewing Jonathan's file, I came across a statement that was given to the police by the sister of the man you just heard in that clip. She was there that night, too. She stated that she never personally spoke to Jonathan because her father didn't want this strange man knowing that there was a woman on the property. She remembered that Justin did give Jonathan a ride back into town and that her brother followed behind in his car at a distance to make sure that Justin was okay. She said that Justin and her brother returned to the property around 9 p.m., but she wasn't so sure about the time, only sure that it was after dark. I'm not sure what to make of that myself. You would think that if you were concerned enough to follow someone, that you would remember following them, but maybe I'm wrong. That's just another version of the story to keep in mind. Now, I would like to introduce you to another person, who at one time claimed to have seen Jonathan that night, but has since changed his story. This person is one of Jonathan's extended family members. Angie told me about this family member and her interactions with him that have made her question his story.
There's also a family member involved. And like a dummy, I reached out to this family member because, well, he's come to our house. He's called to ask how to fix cars. He shows up without a warning or notice, just any time for the past over 30 years. And so the last that we heard was that the family member lived near Bastrop. And so I reached out and called the family member after the police told me that they could not hold Jonathan. And I asked him if he could go there and stay with Jonathan until we got there. And he said yes. What I didn't know, law enforcement claims that they made contact with the family member and had made arrangements with the family member for him to come and pick Jonathan up. The family member didn't say anything about any call from any police. He told us that he went with Jonathan across the highway to the dealership and asked the family member, do you think my dad would like a Ford truck or a Dodge truck? Mind you now, Jonathan doesn't have any money. Jonathan has been disabled since before he was 22 years old. Jonathan's never had any employment. And Jonathan has never lived by himself, taking care of himself since he's been born. After Jonathan went missing, we had several communications with the family member. At one point, he asked me, did Jonathan have dementia? Was Jonathan suffering from some type of infection in his blood? And I said, what? And he said, yes, my wife had something like that, and it kind of makes them a little kooky. And I said, no. And then he wanted to know if Jonathan was suffering from malnutrition. And I said, no. And today, the family member, he says he never saw our son. And I'm going to tell you that when we came back home and we had those few conversations, we didn't hear from him anymore. He never once called to say, hey, did you hear from Jonathan? Hey, did Jonathan get back home okay? Nothing.
When law enforcement officials spoke to this man, he said that he had spoken to Jonathan that night and had agreed to come pick him up, but when he arrived, Jonathan was gone. He spoke with Jonathan a second time from Justin's phone, and Jonathan allegedly told him the story about wandering onto this property and how Justin helped him out by getting him some food. When they spoke this second time, Jonathan also told him that Justin would be driving him to Austin, and he would meet up with this family member there. The following day, Justin called this family member and let him know that when he went back to get Jonathan, he was gone. One thing that really stands out as strange and conflicting, and it's even noted by the Bastrop police in Jonathan's file as being odd, was that this family member was able to describe what Jonathan was wearing, the shirt that had been given to him that night by Justin. Yet he now claims that he never saw him. There's another thing that possibly ties this family member to Jonathan that night. Angie told me about some strange items she later found in the envoy.
We found, it looked like some kind of garbage stuff in the back of the vehicle. One of them was like a vinyl card holder. Later, I found out the person that belonged to, and I sent it to them in the mail. I contacted them. I told them that it was in our car. I don't know how it got there, that I would like to return it to them. And so the person gave me their address, and I sent it back to them.
Earlier, Angie mentioned this story that the family member had told about being at the car dealership with Jonathan when he asked what kind of truck he thought his dad would want. Well, there is a car dealership right across the street from the Best Buy. It's called Covert Chevrolet. On May 4th, which is the day that Jonathan was last seen in Bastrop, Covert Chevrolet reported a burglary of a vehicle that was parked on their lot. Some personal items were taken from this vehicle. These are believed to be the strange items that Angie later found, like the business card holder. That within itself is odd. Why would you break into a car to steal a business card holder, but nothing of monetary value? So this family member placed himself at the car dealership in the parking lot with Jonathan, but later changed the story. Then the items from a car that was broken into at that dealership end up in the envoy. It's really strange, isn't it? When Jonathan's parents were in Bastrop for 4 hours trying to get the envoy running, this family member stayed with them for all of those hours.
He was behaving in a way that now, in hindsight, Angie finds to be quite strange.
He drove off periodically. We don't know where he went to or for what reason, but it was more often than you would think for a restroom break.
When this family member left that evening, he was involved in an auto accident. Angie has always worried about this.
And when I was told about the accident, I called law enforcement and I was crying. And I was very upset. And I told him, I said, he better not have run over my son or killed my son. And I'll tell you, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to believe. None of this makes sense.
Even though we can see major inconsistencies in this family member's story, law enforcement doesn't believe that he needs to be looked into any further.
There's always variations in little stories.
Right.
And so, as usual, there's variations, but there's nothing flat out blatant that would basically indicate any kind of foul play from what he told us in the interview and kind of the consistency with what Justin's told us and the other people that we interviewed from the property and from what you're saying.
They also don't believe that Justin's story needs to be examined further either.
I was hoping for at least that, to know that possibly this Justin fella could have been a good Samaritan, and take all the doubt that I have in my head out.
His background's clean. He has no criminal history. He works for the state. He has no history of mental health issues, nothing like that. I mean, he has no history of ever being arrested.
Didn't he tell y'all I called him and that I communicated with him about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, nothing, from what I've read in their reports on his statement, nothing is a red flag with him. I mean, and there's been more history done on him this week.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
Another strange thing happened. Jonathan's parents found some blood in the Envoy that he had been driving.
I would like to tell you that when the officer came to our home and cut it out, before he left, he told us that it would take a long time for the results to come back. And about a month later, when we went to the meeting, I think they notified me by email before the meeting, but they told me that it came back as there was animal blood there. With that being said, nobody in the family hunt or anything. I'll just tell you that the test that was run, there's two different kinds of tests, and my memory is really bad, but there's one type of test that they take that is not 100%. I believe that that is the test that was run on the evidence they got out of the car. There is another test that costs a lot of money, and we were told that they did not have the funds, the police department, they did not have the funds for that kind of testing.
Even though Jonathan's family can't think of any reason that there may have been animal blood in the car, the Bastrop Police Department has come up with some ideas.
It's crazy. To me, it's totally crazy. About the animal blood, the detective mentioned to me animal sacrifice, occult devil stuff. She also mentioned suicide. And if I was not so upset during that meeting, I would have said, okay, where's his body? The ranger said he didn't know why she said those things.
One question that keeps coming up is whether or not Jonathan could be living among the homeless. Now, anything is possible, but there are some things that make me question that. We know that Jonathan was having major health issues. He had just been hospitalized, and many people who had encountered him on that last day described him as being in an altered mental state. Now, we don't know if this was due to blood sugar issues or bipolar disorder or even both. In the 2.5 years since he's been missing, is it possible that he's been able to take care of himself well enough that he hasn't popped up somewhere? We know that Jonathan didn't leave with a significant amount of money on him, and Angie told me that insulin is very expensive.
I will tell you that insulin is not cheap. If you go and buy the ones you can buy over the counter without a prescription, you're still talking at about $60 for the two insulins. That's not counting the syringes. That's not counting a glucometer or blood strips. Diabetes is a very, very expensive disease to have. But unless somebody has money, I don't see how anyone could disappear off of the face of the earth. A Texas Ranger attended the meeting that we had, and he told me it looks like Jonathan walked away, but then turns around and says, do I know that something bad didn't happen? No, I do not. And what I was told about is that the homeless community has places set up where people can go and not give their name and get free insulin and supplies. That's what I was told.
One of the things I looked into pretty heavily is I was trying to track him through insulin. How would you track somebody that is in need of insulin and try to track them down? And you can't.
You can't.
You can't. But then the one thing that I came across was the amount of services or programs that offer free insulin to individuals. And all they have to do is walk in and ask for it. And that was kind of the one thing when I'm looking at it thinking, well, the opportunity for him to recover medical or seek medical aid, it's there if he doesn't want to be on the grid. It's not like he's completely cut off.
My hope is that this is what's going on, but in reality, was Jonathan in a place mentally and physically that he would have had the resources to find these charities? Another issue that I have with Jonathan being homeless is how has he managed to avoid law enforcement for so long? Just take the day that he was last seen alone. He pulled into a Best Buy parking lot and immediately someone called and reported him as suspicious. I guess what I'm trying to say here is, how can so many people notice that someone is acting strange or suspicious and then poof, they're gone? One thing that I've considered is that maybe people were noticing him because he was in a smaller town. But what if he's in a bigger city now, where the homeless go unnoticed? Here's a clip of the Bastrop police discussing how often the homeless in Austin get identified by the police.
We would think that eventually, within 2.5 years, that him be identified. Now, I went to Austin the other day, and I gave a homeless guy $5. I said, hey, man, you know, can we talk for a second? I said, how often does APD identify you? And he said about once every 2 years. And that's because he was camping on the Omni Hotel off I-35, which is a pretty nice hotel. So they called him. But it sounds to me that if they kind of stay under the bridges and they, you know, panhandle, the AP doesn't mess with your panhandle. It just doesn't happen. You know, they don't have time to do it.
They can't even get very close to an accurate account of how many homeless people there are.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So that's kind of where the battle is. We don't know where Jonathan is at, and we just don't know. We'd love to, if we could find out where he was at, we would just say, we're done. You know, he doesn't want to be around you, or he doesn't want to do this, or something like that. But we haven't been able to close it because we just can't find out where he's at.
And the other thing is, as far as from a police department perspective, we have to, I mean, we can't assume that, we can't assume anything. I mean, ultimately, when we look at her, we still have to, she's still a victim, considered a victim. This is the mother of somebody who's missing. We have to still follow up and hopefully find her son, or at least assist her in finding her son.
Jonathan's family has made trips to Austin to look for Jonathan.
Speaking of homeless, a week before we went to the meeting with law enforcement, they finally decided to put a flyer out on my son, and it's labeled attempt to locate. And underneath my son's picture, it says may be living homeless in Austin. And so when we went to that meeting a week later, I was hopeful. I thought possibly that they had some type of lead that would make them put that out there for the public. And when I asked about it, I was told it was put out there because Austin is the nearest big town to Bastrop. There were no leads. We have gotten a couple of leads stating that our son's in Austin. And I will tell you that we have loaded up in the car and we have gone down there, and I was in shell shock. There is a huge homeless community down there. And I have walked the streets with posters, with my cell phone, with pictures. I've approached homeless people. I've gone in soup kitchens. I've gone in churches that serve breakfast to the homeless on Saturdays. I have gone to service centers for homeless. I have gone to mental health facilities. I have gone to Austin State Hospital and filled out paperwork inquiring as to if my son could be there. We've done this. My husband suffers from heart issues. I have health issues. And we've done this several times. And nobody claims that they have saw Jonathan. I almost got robbed underneath the freeway where they had a gathering to feed the homeless people. I got out of my car to get a canned soda out of the ice chest in the trunk, and a man came up on his bicycle, and my husband hollered at me to get my butt in the car. That guy was fixing to try to rob me. I was tired. I wasn't paying attention. I was just trying to find my son.
Angie worries that if he is out there somewhere, what kind of state may he be in 2.5 years later due to his health issues?
if he's out there alive, he's probably in worse shape than I can even imagine, with both possibly partial or permanent mental impairment, and God knows what kind of emotional state he could be in. Does he know who he is? And I called the hospitals for weeks after he went missing. I called EMTs. I called morgues. I called medical examiners, asking about John Doe's or unidentifieds. And nobody ever, you know, said, hey, somebody's here. And his dad and I have both submitted our DNA, and it's been completed and it's been entered into the system.
While it's always a possibility, Angie doesn't believe that Jonathan would have gone this long without making some kind of contact with his family.
I can't see my child leaving and going to live homeless on the street. Jonathan's dad has said that he believes it's possible that the family member may have promised Jonathan some great something, and Jonathan took off there. But the truth is, we don't know, but my husband knows how the family member has done other people. I think if my son was out there somewhere and had his mind and had decided to go live this life, to just walk away, I think that he would have contacted us some way, and he hasn't. Jonathan loved his little sister. She told her dad the other day, Daddy, we don't have fun anymore because Jonathan's gone. What do you say? What do you say on those days when you do good to barely function because the stress and the worry has done so much to you? What do you say? We're both trying to be a parent to this little girl that we love, and it's almost like it's not fair to her because we're not able to give her our best. She's suffering because her brother's gone, and her parents are suffering because her brother's gone.
I'd like to dig a little deeper into what Jonathan's mental state may have been leading up to his disappearance. The Bastrop Police Department believes that he most likely walked away to live within the homeless community. They've come to this conclusion based on some of Jonathan's actions, but what if some of these actions were signs that Jonathan was desperately in need of help? About a month before he disappeared, he started making some bizarre comments on Facebook. Some of these comments went unnoticed for quite some time, because he had an account that no one knew about. Some of what he wrote seemed relatively normal for a 26-year-old guy, but other things seemed more like religious ramblings. Here's one post from April 9th, 2015. Wherefore art thou, Emmanuel? I believe he's up above. He looks like blue cheese. You may know he by Jesus. I miss my half-brother. Won't he save me? He promised me. I hope I aren't forsaken for what I have did. I hope he has the same love for me as I do he. I would let him prosper in my lowest of lows and highest of highs and all between. He's my backbone and my feet. He's my way. Soon I shall head east or west until I'm home. I do not belong here. I want back to the kingdom. I shall die on my travel before I sit still and burn in hell, aka here. He had better be my shield and protect me from all evil. I need him for anything that's of a challenge to me, and nothing is much of a challenge to me. GJH, three piece. Other posts that he made have led law enforcement to believe that he wanted to fall off the grid. A post from April 3rd, 2015 says, "Lost my phone. Ain't even worried about it. See me in person or don't see me at all." On May 2nd, which is the day that he initially went missing, but before he showed up in Bastrop, he posted a picture of what looks like someone cooking a pot full of food, and it says, "Hobo Johnny loves fish. Not bad for a homeless guy." So maybe Jonathan did have a desire to leave his life behind for one reason or another. But was this a well-thought-out plan or part of a delusion? A sign that Jonathan was in need of help, that maybe his mental health was deteriorating. The posts that Jonathan had made referencing religion may tie in with something that he reportedly said to two of the witnesses in Bastrop on the 4th.
You know, reviewing the case, I feel like they've exhausted all leads.
Did they tell you that our son thought he was Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
I'm not doubting that he may have some mental problems, but I'm just saying, was that, at the time of contact, he was not displaying the issues to them that they felt like he was in danger. He was in danger to himself or anybody else.
Jonathan stating that he was Jesus and the Facebook post have led law enforcement and his family to wonder if he could have left to join some religious group or cult.
I don't know if to say if he was confused or maybe he was even searching for himself. I wondered if he decided to take on some new religion, you know, that maybe we're not aware of. I've wondered all kinds of crazy stuff, but those crazy things could very well be true.
And they could. I mean, I've wondered most of the same things when I've looked at the case. I've wondered about if he's become any kind of converted to any kind of different religions. I mean, just from indications of him saying that he was Jesus and, you know, things like that. And I can only imagine what you have wondered, so...
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
One of the people who Jonathan encountered in Bastrop has told law enforcement that Jonathan told him that he just wanted to get away.
Now, the one thing that he did relay, I guess, when we interviewed one of the people, is he was trying to get away from his life. And that was one of the things he said.
From his life.
He basically wanted to get away. And he was running away, trying to leave behind his life. Now, I don't know how he meant it, obviously, because these people didn't know. They just, during the interview, said that that's what he relayed to them. So it could have been his life personally. I mean, it could have been family life. We just don't know. And that's kind of why, you know, it was important for you to kind of come in as well and elaborate a little bit for us, because we don't know. We don't know what he was trying to get away from.
Maybe there was somebody he hung around with that was influenced, and he felt like the only way he was able to get away from this person was by just completely leaving.
That could be true, but now that leaves me. Who in the hell was it?
Yet another worry that Jonathan's family has struggled with is even if he intentionally took off, with his physical and mental state, what if he wandered into the woods or into the river? There have never been any organized searches of the area. Law enforcement won't conduct any searches, and Angie has tried to get places like Texas Equisearch involved, but she hasn't had any luck.
I've been told that my son is not in their town. My husband has been told that my son is not in the Colorado River. How do they know these things? And shortly after Jonathan went missing, the area had severe flooding to where the rivers were coming up onto people's property and roads were flooded, land was flooded for an excessive amount of time. I don't understand how they could say Jonathan's not in the river. I don't know how they can say Jonathan's not in Bastrop.
During a meeting with law enforcement, Angie asked if they thought Jonathan could be in the river.
I don't think so.
You know, we had all those floods.
You know, he doesn't sound like he's an incapable person ever. I mean, he just doesn't. He sounded like he was very capable of doing what he wanted to do on his own terms. As far as speculating where he could be, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if he was in Houston, Austin, in Colorado, in Florida, Georgia. I couldn't tell you that. But as far as his capableness, he seems like he had the ability to take care of himself.
He might be in Mexico. And then, but I think the necessary steps have been taken. Y'all have given DNA that way. If for some reason, you know, his remains are found, if he is dead, which I personally don't think he is. I think his intent was to fall off the grid and live his life by himself and people not know where he's at. But if for some reason he did wander off somewhere and die of low blood sugar or something like that, if his remains are found, then y'all's DNA, y'all taking the necessary steps to submit the DNA to UNT because that's where the skeletal remains will go to pull DNA out of that. And then y'all will be entered in the database. It'll be ran against that. There'll be a match. But speaking from a parent, like I said, you always want to know what happened to your child, but it gets to a point where law enforcement has done absolutely everything they can do to locate somebody, and they just can't do any more other than to take steps of getting the DNA to help out for things foreseeable in the future. Am I making sense to you?
To an extent, yeah.
So, I mean...
But the heart, you hear? The heart.
I totally understand that because I'm a parent, too. I understand questions. And so, I mean, we have missing persons cases from the 80s that we still have never found these people. And there's people that will never, ever be found. I think as law enforcement, we have to do everything we can to try to locate this person. I felt like in this case, reviewing the case, I think Bastrop PD has done everything they can. I mean, I've done some things in the last week to assist them. You know, we've checked employment records. If they work, see if he's receiving wages anywhere. And
we've subpoenaed mental institutions around the state.
That was one of my questions. Because of Austin State Hospital being down the road, could somebody have found him in an altered mental state
and put him there? And we thought the same thing, and I subpeenaed their medical record.
And see, that's the thing. If he's assumed a new identity, all we can check is a name we know. But if he's assumed a whole new identity, then we may not know. There's just no way of tracking him down unless he accesses a bank account that he's connected to his name or some type of benefits. If he's receiving that, that's the only way you'd ever find him. So if he's assumed some kind of identity, there's no way for law enforcement to really proceed with that lead because there's no telling what name he could be using at this point.
So what do you do as a parent? This has almost killed me. I mean, literally.
Honestly, there's probably, I mean, you're doing exactly what any parent would do. I mean, you contact, I know you guys are probably glued to the internet, probably making you sick. I'll tell you that the database that we entered Jonathan into, the missing person one, about 6 months ago, I recovered a person that was missing and it had been 16 years, all because of that database. 16 years is a long time. That was in the 90s and the information was nowhere near as kind of sophisticated as today, but it does eventually work at some point as far as trying to locate somebody. But as a parent, I think what you're doing as far as giving the DNA and contacting the media.
Even if Jonathan is out there living among the homeless, or if he perished in the river or in the woods, it doesn't explain all of the conflicting stories that have been told. This is what I mean when I say nothing quite adds up completely in this case. Maybe people are just remembering things wrong, or maybe not. What do I think happened to Jonathan? I honestly don't know, but I would argue that when he left, he wasn't in a physical or mental state to properly care for himself or make rational decisions. Sometimes when we look at cases like this, we try to make sense of things rationally. But when the person isn't acting rationally, it's very hard to wrap our brains around what they may have been thinking or doing. There's something that has happened to Jonathan's family that I'd like to mention. It's not something that's going to help us solve this case, but it's something that's happened to several families that I've spoken to. I think it's important to put this information out there because other families of the missing listen to this show, and just being aware of this could save some other families the heartache that Jonathan's family has gone through.
I was sent these two pictures a few weekends ago. They had a man in a chair, blindfolded, with tape over his mouth, and they were holding a gun to the back of the man's head. I was sent these pictures. They told me they had my son. I'm going to tell you now that I'm calmed down and the shock is over, I don't believe it's my son. But wanting $500 in iTunes cards, I called the FBI. I was told to go to my local police. My phone was just a dinging away when I was talking to the police with these horrid messages. And I was told that I have a right to protect myself. And then I was told to contact Bastrop Police Department. The detective answered my email back, and she said, this is a scam that's been happening to people in your circumstance. Okay, so then my question, and I didn't ask her this, is if you know this is a scam, and you know that at least one of these individuals that tagged me up on this is in Nigeria, why haven't they been stopped? Stop them. Put a stop to it where they can, you know what it is? It's my words for it. It's emotional terrorism. I've heard of people losing their homes. I've heard all kinds of horror stories. I'll tell you, and somebody may see it different. The way that I took it, it hurt me really bad because I would be willing to give anything I have to have my son back. But the fact that there's all these con artists and stuff, and I've heard all these people that's been ripped off from money and life savings and 401k plans and all this stuff.
The Bastrop Police Department did investigate this, and as Angie said, these messages were coming from Nigeria. Unfortunately, there isn't much that the Bastrop Police Department can do about scammers in Nigeria, but I do feel like making the public aware of these scams could help prevent others from being scammed as well. I'm sure that we could all report these scam accounts to Facebook all day long, and they would just create new accounts. People who are dealing with the heartache of having a missing loved one should not have to deal with this nonsense on top of it. At this point in time, Jonathan's case has been suspended, which doesn't mean that it's closed. They just believe that they've run down all the leads and there's nothing left to investigate. He's still considered missing and is listed in all the appropriate databases. Having his case suspended has left Jonathan's family wondering how they will ever find him if no one is actively looking for him. Law enforcement told Angie that her best bet is that he'll get picked up by law enforcement somewhere.
So honestly, your best bet is that he is picked up and he's arrested and then he's held.
Because that's the only way we're going to know if he's alive, right?
That's probably the way that if he doesn't want to be found by you or located.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to be found, he's not going to pop up. And if his intent was to disappear from y'all, which that's what I think was his intent, was just to leave and go live on his own. That's what I think his intent was. But looking at this case, then yeah, it's going to be a case where he's probably going to have to be arrested and fingerprinted, or else he's going to have to be walking down the road. Law enforcement comes in contact with him, and they run him. Now, if he gives them a fake name, hopefully, you know, DO photos, if he's got a DO under another name, you know, those photos don't match. Officer clues into it and does some further research. But I think, like she says, most law enforcement contacts, most likely how he's going to be found.
Jonathan's disappearance has taken a huge toll on his entire family. The guessing and the wondering is like torture.
The thoughts are endless. And those thoughts of wondering what happened have about drove me crazy. And Jonathan has a much younger sister who will be turning 15 very shortly. And she does not talk very much about this. But she asked me, she says, Mom, do you think Jonathan could be alive? And I'm going to tell you that as a mom, it's my job, no matter how I feel or what I think or issues that have come up or happened that she knows nothing about, it's my job to try to protect my child. And by doing that, I have said, Shani, if Jonathan came across a good person, he could be alive. But the truth is, I don't know.
That brings us to the end of episode 96 and part 2 of Jonathan's story. If you have any information about the disappearance of Jonathan Lee Hamilton, you can send tips on Facebook through Jonathan Lee Hamilton Missing, or you can contact the Bastrop Police Department at 512-332-8600. You can also call 512-332-8603. You can even mail a tip in anonymously to the police department at 104 Grady Tuck Lane, Bastrop, Texas, 78602. At the time of his disappearance, Jonathan was described as being 6'2" tall and weighing about 210 pounds. He has a scar over his right eye and also on his right hip. If you'd like to contact me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a private discussion group. I'm on Twitter at The Vanish Pod and on Instagram as The Vanish Podcast. If you have a loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishpodcast.com. Join me next time. I'll be discussing the disappearance of a man from Hawaii.
Jonathan was a good-looking young man. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his mom. If Jonathan's out there somewhere, somebody has seen him. Take away people's tattoos. Take away their body piercings. Take away their habits. They're all human beings. Somebody's child, somebody's brother, somebody's nephew, somebody's grandson, somebody's friend. And everybody belongs to somebody. And if they had those tapes, they could see if my son wandered off and went to that property, or did somebody pick him up on the road. They would have more leads than what they have. But everything that I have asked for as a mom has been shut down. Shut down. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think I can live numerous years feeling like I feel.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.